Last week, we had the reading where Jesus called Peter and Andrew and then James and John, sons of Zebedee. They dropped the fishing nets, said, "Bye, Dad," and followed Jesus. Today's reading follows on from that. And it follows on with them leading, going to Capernaum, where Peter and Andrew lived. Now, Capernaum was a much bigger place than Galilee and probably suited a campaign launch a bit better. They went to the local synagogue, Peter and Andrew's, together with Jesus, and being a visiting rabbi, was asked to preach, as was the custom. Now, the local preacher was probably really enjoying the break for a Sunday off and just hanging out with his people. But what he got might have been a bit eye-opening, to say the least. The whole congregation was gobsmacked that Jesus taught with such authority. It was as if he'd come straight from the source, which he did. The scribes who usually preached were ultra-conservative, and they would stick very closely to the traditional writings and quote what such and such a rabbi had said before. And to be honest, I'm not much different. I look up the readings, I study the commentaries, then I read what such and such wrote, just to make sure I get the message right, before I preach a pretty safe message with a challenge and some reassurance built in. Not Jesus. If he preached here to us today, I think we'd be sitting up pretty straight, if not dancing in the aisles. He spoke with authority, and the congregation, who were all Peter and Andrew's friends and family, were just amazed at his teaching. Now, in a worldly sense, Jesus didn't have any power at all. He was not a worldly king with political or military power. He was not one of the priests who had the power in Roman Judea. Not even a scribe with the authority of Jewish tradition. The only authority he had was the supreme confidence that what he did and what he said was God's will and God's truth. His authority lay in the sheer power of his words and the example of his deeds. Now, from his preaching alone, they were no doubt wondering if they were witnessing some kind of new prophet in their midst, getting a bit excited. And then, and this was almost secondary to his teaching, out pops this demon-possessed man. And he was shouting, "Jesus, you're the Son of God. What have you come to do? What have you come to..." Now, if anyone was thinking that this could have been a stunt, I think they'd have to think again. Because Jesus was really managing his own epiphany. And this could have blown all the deal. If he'd played all his trumps at once, it would have made his mission very short and painful. So, having a demon-possessed person come out and proclaim who he was very counterproductive. These days, maybe we would have diagnosed him differently, but we weren't there. And so we have to accept that what they regarded as demon possession occurred there and called Jesus out. Now, at the time, there were shaman and practices existing for exorcising these demons or impure spirits, but they were very drawn out and they were very expensive. So Jesus spoke sternly and sent the impure spirit packing. Just be quiet and get out. Nothing to see here, folks. Just focus on my teaching. Still, the news spread very, very quickly. This is Jesus introducing himself to the world. Ultimately, Jesus won freedom from religion for all of us, so that we're no longer subject to a set of rules that bind us and subject us to a slave-like existence, fearing to put a step wrong or we'll be punished. He freed us to embrace the wishes of God as our own loving response. We have the freedom to live a full and happy life, not hampered by superstitions or harsh restrictions that burden us and make us miserable. Which brings me to our second reading from Paul. The Corinthians were learning, and in a letter from Paul, we understand that at the time was an issue about meat that was offered to idols. Should they eat it or not? Paul explains, and I love these two verses. Food will not bring us close to God. We're no worse off if we do not eat it, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now, we don't have to worry about idol-offered meat products these days, thankfully. However, the basic premise is sound today for a number of issues. We acknowledge that Christ freed us and we're unbound to live freely, but that kind of living can have unintended consequences. And I've made a parallel. It's a bit like being an influencer. Does anyone follow an influencer? I'm yet to find any. But I heard the other day that Kim Kardashian was promoting suntanning beds. Now, to me, that sounded a little irresponsible. No judgment on Kim. Sure, she's very nice. But do you know how many people follow her? Any idea? Want to throw out a number?
50 million.
Pretty good. North. 364 million people follow Kim Kardashian. And what? Isn't she? Great role model. So I'm just saying that I'm not going to try and vilify her, but that is a lot of influence and a lot of responsibility to the people who trust her. We are now being watched. When we make a stand and say, well, I'm a Christian, it changes how people around you act. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. I've had people, where in my workplaces, who have apologised to me for swearing, even after they've heard me say the odd, rude word. Can you imagine? And I've also heard the comment, oh, Wes is a Christian, but he seems normal. Make what you will of that. But it left me wondering, was I relatable? Or did I just lower the standard of all Christians? What can be a powerful witness for good, as Christ would be proud of, could also be a negative influence on those who look up to us, or even lead them astray. So if you like an alcoholic drink and have no problem controlling it, would you drink in front of someone who's an alcoholic struggling to recover? Would you take a known gambling addict for a chat at the local TAB? Just a couple of out there examples. We can seem like we're just anyone else and therefore relatable, or it can show that we could just be being hypocrites and damages the message that we're trying to relay. So Paul is saying to the Corinthians, they have freedom in Christ to eat meat offered to idols, but will that cause the weaker ones to fall away? And Paul shows his own commitment in verse 13. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. So Paul's saying he would go as far as becoming a vegetarian to protect. I know. We have some vegetarians, that's awesome. My daughter is vegan too, so I know the commitment that's involved in doing that. But he's prepared to go to that. He'll say, I'll do that to stop you people from falling away. To bring this into today's situation, it might mean that we become sober or stop taking a weekly tax ticket to protect the people who are close to us and vulnerable. So to recap, Jesus used his words and his own example to create his authority and became perhaps the biggest influencer over the last 2,000 years. He won freedom for us to live in all its fullness, yes, but the flip side of that is it comes with the responsibility to live as if the world's eyes are on us. Like Jesus, our words and actions need to create some kind of authority to prove that we're the real deal. But we have a serious advantage over Kim Kardashian and others like her. I believe we have the Holy Spirit who lives in us and teaches us and helps us to discern when we may be going off track. So we need to get in tune, listen to that, pray, read the Bible, join our fellowship. And in the end, our example, just like Jesus, will speak the loudest to all who watch.